prison of endless possibility.
Oh my gosh, it's the Watches the Plus, and it's been like a month and a half. But now, Sam, you and I are literally coast to coast with the most.
We had to cover the whole country. We need to make sure we got everyone representative.
Yeah. I did a survey of the country to find WOTP fans. The only one that I'm aware of is in Puerto Rico. So that puts us in a real pickle because I didn't get to see him. But I did get to see America the Beautiful in a friggin' 5-day extravaganza of 12 to 13 hour junkets between hotel after hotel. I can't tell you much about the places, but I can tell you that America is beautiful, and anyone should drive across using 6640 at some point in their life because it's fun. If you do it the right way.
I've always wanted to do half and half, do like a train ride across the country and then drive back, or vice versa. Maybe drive first and then relax on the train ride back. But I think that would be too fun. I've heard that there's certain train routes that you can take that you can see parts of the country that there's no roads and that's just gorgeous. And yeah, I think that's, while you're probably stressed out, like telling the movers where to go and trying to figure out where the next motel you guys were going to stay at was.
Well, I'll tell you,
it was still pretty fun.
Okay. So this episode is sponsored by Twisted Tea.
I should have gotten your route and started looking up like diners, drive-ins and dive spots for you.
Okay.
Like,
I will tell you now, there's a few places that I would tell you to stop by. So the episode today is sponsored by Twisted Tea, which has become my favorite here in North Carolina. Not that we didn't have them anywhere else, but it's iced tea with booze, and I wasn't expecting to like that. I love it. And also, booking.com was my personal assistant in finding 3 to 4 star motels across this great nation. And it worked flawlessly, which I was appreciative of. And if you find yourself on Route 66 and you look up Laguna Burger in New Mexico, go there during, fairly, lunch type hours. Don't go 30 minutes before it closes like I did, but I had to be there to see it and to experience again. It had been 6 years since I had eaten there the first time. They make the patties right in front of you. They put stuff in the patties. And it is one of the best burgers I've ever had.
Is it like a
Burger.
Juicy Lucy kind of thing where they put it in the middle, or is it more like they mix it in the grind?
Yeah, call it mix it in the grind. Yeah. Okay. Juicy Lucy, that's a whole nother volcanic,
That's Minnesota.
Yeah. had one at one time, and it was like a volcano in your mouth.
Yeah, those never looked, for a guy that likes his burgers medium rare, a Juicy Lucy never looked that appealing to me.
Well, and if you get it too hot, if it comes out straight away and you bite into it,
you're gonna die.
Can find yourself with a beyond blistered mouth.
Yeah, I think that might even be worse than a too soon bite of pizza.
That's right. Exactly.
It just squirts in your mouth all over the place, and you're just like, I don't know what to do.
It's literally molten cheese at the roof of your mouth, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad we got you to your new home base. Got you your new man cave, as I can see.
That's right. it is very much a cave, but it is far bigger. It's not the garage anymore. I'm out of the garage. So that's a step up.
And hopefully we can get you watching things again, because I'm pretty sure you haven't seen Sweet Tooth yet. Have you watched that yet?
I have not.
Mose has so much Watchers the Plus homework to do.
I know. Look, at the end of the day, what we're going to talk about, I did get to see Black Widow. I didn't pay for it on streaming. I actually went to the theater, saw it, finished up Loki. Then all of a sudden, you came across the pier with that Ted Lasso. And I, as one of a big fan of Ted Lasso, I should have known this, that it was starting up. But I didn't do it. However, I will tell you that if my Apple TV Apple Plus subscription runs out, I will renew only for Ted Lasso. Mm-hmm. So that there's that.
Ted Lasso is that quality that I would. Now, I think that Apple TV is maybe one of those things that I would then cancel when the season's over.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I've tried to get into Mythic Quest. It's all right. I kind of look at that as a show that has a bunch of different characters from a bunch of different types of shows.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can't even really describe it, but, you know, I don't know if I just maybe am not into the whole video game culture thing as much as other people are, but.
I will tell you,
it's all right.
Yeah. Long way down with Ewan McGregor and long way up and long way around with Ewan McGregor doing his cycling journeys on Apple Plus is also very, very good. I highly recommend them.
And I should try out Central Park, I think is the other one, the animated one that's from the creators of Bob's Burgers. They look very similar animation style.
Yeah, I'd be curious about it, but I haven't heard anything good necessarily.
But that doesn't always translate. I mean, I've tried a couple different times to get into Solar Opposites, and I just don't know if I'm not in the right mindset every time I throw it on, or
you might
just, I want Rick and Morty. Because I mean, you see my background here. I'm in Rick's garage today, yeah. So I love Rick and Morty. I think this season's been really good. It's had some really funny episodes.
Diabolically complex, it would seem.
Yeah, the one where Morty goes to war with people where they're just trying to use their dimension to age wine. And then all of a sudden their whole society is built around killing Morty is just great while he's trying to play.
I'm just astonished. I'm not astonished because I know that there is creativity out there. And it's one of those things where I'm just like, you know, there are stories to be had. You don't have to reboot every stinking thing. There are people out there that are writing original stories. I'd like to know more about them. Oh, now you did. We did. Well, I do need to follow up with you about Black Summer.
I like hate watched the whole first season. I think my favorite part was when you think that we're following around the lady who owns the van and then they crash it and she goes flying out the windshield and all of a sudden she's a zombie. Like the show will surprise you. Like it does have that early season Walking Dead, anybody could go, maybe even Game of Thrones kind of thing. But I just don't know if it's good. Like it just feels like there's one guy telling everyone to shut the fuck up a lot.
Yep.
And you know, we have this guy that's been getting beat up by the army and then he turns on him and is he a good guy or are they a bad guy? Like, there's just so much ambiguity. I wish there was just a little more exposition as to what was going on at times. I don't know. Because I started to watch the second season and immediately somebody dies that you'd followed from the first season.
Yep.
And you go, oh, okay. Which didn't turn me off, but it was just kind of, just seems like there's a lot of one guy running through a hallway, really, like it's just tense. And so
it is tense. You can't deny the fact that you've never seen anything quite like that.
Yeah. I don't know that I'd recommend it to anybody. Like I had somebody actually independently bring it up to me that they'd watched it and they said they gave it about four episodes and then kind of logged off. But then again, I saw on Mr. Sunday Movies, his less successful podcast, Suggestible, that he does with his wife, he was suggesting it, that he said he thought it was really good. So, you know, there are some parts where I'm like, okay, how are they going to get out of this? Or this is interesting. Like it is kind of cool how it's like early day zombies. So nobody knows to like go for the head. Like people are shooting them in the body. And
but there's a consequence because if you kill someone in this universe, they're a zombie. And it's like guys, stop killing.
Walking Dead was the same way.
Yeah.
But that is interesting how there's a couple different times where they think, oh, I killed this guy and he's out of the picture. And then all of a sudden there's a zombie and everyone's running for the hills. So I just wish I knew a little bit, like, I don't know. I think that this is interesting, but I think that maybe it's more for horror/zombie purists or fans. Like I'm not a big, like I watched The Walking Dead until it got a little too silly. You know, I'll watch zombie movies, but they're not like my favorite or anything. So would you say this is better than Snyder's one?
I don't know.
Which I think they are officially making a sequel to.
Yeah. The whole running zombie thing, again, I like that people take different takes on what the zombie can be and how they can be. So that's, I think that's where I was kind of impressed, and the speed at which you flip. So
yeah, that was crazy as how it wasn't like they die and then 30 minutes later they turn.
Right.
It's like the second they're dead, they're like, hey, I'm hungry. I'm coming for
it. Yeah, I'm immediately kind of like this 28 days later rage monster. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I'm just saying it, there's something to it that's interesting to me. And I'm kind of hooked.
Have you gotten through the second season?
Yes. And there are a lot of good surprises.
Well, you know, like I said, I've been struggling finding something new to watch. So I don't know if it's just that nothing's been grabbing me. You know, Ted Lasso being back is great, but it was kind of a killer only seeing one episode. I was just like, oh, I was used to having this. I get the next one right away. So,
okay. So yeah, you
watched. It's going to be a totally different experience this time around. So
yeah. So you watched the first one. Mm-hmm. I have not watched it because I'm not lazy, but I didn't have my TV hooked up. I just didn't have really time setting up the house. So what's your first kind of impression, hot take of Ted Lasso season two, episode one?
I mean, happy it's back. We're getting, you know, it's Ted and the gang. All your favorites are back in the first episode. I mean, you get a question from Trent Crim of the Independent. You get to see the boys on the pitch. You get to see some soccer action. There is a very funny thing that happens in their first game, which it's funny and sad, but it's also very, it's, I can't really say anything about it without giving it away. So, but
away, you know that I don't care about spoilers. You're not going to spoil anything for me.
Well, Danny Rojas is going to kick a penalty kick, and their mascot Greyhound gets off the chain and chases a bird, and as he's kicking the goal, it strikes the dog and kills it.
Oh my gosh.
So it's just one of those things, as it happens in slow-mo, and so it doesn't stop. It doesn't, you know it's coming the whole time. But, and of course, Danny Rojas is grief-stricken about it. He's, football is no longer life. Football is death. He's a big mess about it. So that's kind of what the episode about is, is the team's tied a bunch of matches in a row. They're trying to get everything back on track. Danny's a mess. They introduce a new character that's a psychologist that comes in to help talk to Danny about everything. And it's just kind of, you know, I felt like it was kind of Game of Thrones in first episode. It was, hey, here's what Coach Nate is like in his first season full-time as a coach. Here's everybody's kind of back together. You know, Rebecca's got a new boyfriend. They're going on double dates with Ted or with Keely and Keely and Roy. You know, it's kind of just setting up Roy's retired and, you know, obviously adjusting to that life just as well as you think Roy Kent would.
Yes. Right.
So it's just, you know, I think it just gives, it's kind of like 6 months later, here's what's going on. And, you know, it's kind of a good little table setting episode. And just, you know, like I said, I think offline, everybody's life is 5% more brighter. Ted Lasso is on the airwaves being positive and trying to fix things. So
gotcha.
Happy he's back.
All right. So now that that's off the table, I did see the Tomorrow War, which is, we both saw that at Amazon Prime. It was really meant for theaters. It was, I mean, I seemed
well,
like
now we know why Commissioner Gordon got so jacked. It was not to be Commissioner Gordon. It was for this movie, because especially if this got delayed enough that it was put on streaming.
Yeah, I think it was probably.
I think that's what he was getting jacked for. That's for sure, because he was looking. J.K. Simmons was looking fit, as Keely might say, in this in this movie. But yeah, it's a fun little time travel movie that's got some interesting. You know, they've got a gateway that you can either travel 30 years back or 30 years in the past. When time travel passes here, it passes to the point you can travel back to, kind of thing. I thought that was a fun mechanic.
Yeah, that was a good scaling. Yeah.
Yeah. So that way it's not just, oh, why don't we do this kind of thing? And, you know, I like that they've, you know, there was kind of they were going for one thing, but then they figured out another way and all that kind of stuff. Like I enjoyed it for the most part.
It's not great,
but Sam Richardson's funny in it.
I think for me, it's like, I don't really have a problem with the time travel premise because I think that was a good spin. There's my biggest issues is became like it had a fourth and fifth act in it. And that is the part that always throws me. It's like
the streaming movie. There's no rules. Do what you want. Kind of.
Well, like, I don't know. Like would they have condensed it down? Cause it felt like a 3-hour movie.
Yeah. I don't know that it was that long, but I would guess that there was some stuff they could have cut out. Like, did we have to care that he didn't get whatever military contract that he had to like get on the cell phone for at the beginning of the movie? Like, I kept going like, ooh, I wonder if that project is what created these alien things or whatever. And then it's like, no, that had nothing to do with anything. Like, it didn't matter whatsoever. They definitely could have cut some shit.
Yeah, it was like set up about character, but I think we all understood the character. Like, he wanted something bigger. I don't think they had to do that with a job necessarily, but I understand where they were going. It's like, but you're really pounding it over my head with it.
Well, he could have just been watching the World Cup with his family and been like, look at these guys at the top of their game. Like, I wish that I could get us to the next level, or just, you know, a little line like that or something like, you know.
And it was like Christmas and they were having a party and they were watching the
World Cup party. Yeah. Like
watching soccer. I'm like, what? This doesn't even make any sense. Like, what is this? I like, maybe they're placating to the world on this one. And that's, I mean, that makes sense. Believe me, I get it now with streaming. Like, there's this, like, you got to think globally. But then, just my inconsistencies with character, it's like, wait a minute. So he's really concerned about his daughter who he meets accidentally. Not really. It was on purpose that, you know, you're not supposed to go. You have to be dead. That's the contingent factor, that you have to be dead so that you don't meet anybody that you would have known when you go.
I was surprised I didn't see that coming, that that was his daughter.
I saw it coming a mile away.
Same with the Black Widow twist. I was like, oh, really? Oh, I had no idea. Like, I hear everybody on the Incomparable talking about Black Widow being like, oh, well, I noticed in the credits so-and-so was in it. And I figured out who Taskmaster was, and I was like, I was clueless right up until the mask came off.
All right, we'll get to that because I'm gonna get pissed.
But no, same with this because I didn't see that coming. I thought that him getting back in time with the
why does he care about going back and meeting and with his daughter? It's like, your daughter's back in the present. Yeah, you met a version of her. But why are you upset?
So that this never happens, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't. And the funny thing is, it's a gorgeous shot of him diving after her into the water as she's
falling. Sure, but it doesn't make any sense.
Like, it did not make any sense whatsoever. Like, it was so silly. Like, unless he was trying to think like, I want to save this version of her too and bring her back with me, maybe. But maybe if he'd have thrown that out there, like, I'm going to save you too. Like, I'm sorry that a version of me didn't do this for you, but I'm here now or something like that. Like,
I can't get there with it, but I was just like, okay. But
then you bring her home and you're like, this is your aunt, your name.
Yeah. Like, that's really strange. Don't
I'm
going to
hug her a lot really weirdly.
Yeah. And yeah. And you know, but the whole end act where like the president now doesn't believe you that you have this thing that can kill the aliens, and it's like, wait a minute, like, everybody was getting like basically recruited to be sent 30 years in the future and all have PTSD coming back, but now you don't believe that they've got the cure.
Was a little cliche. I'm a suit that I'm not going to listen to this guy.
And then a ragtag bunch of five people go to Russia. I mean, it started to get too bizarre.
Well, especially just because they could have like easily stepped out of the spaceship, sent a little texty text over to the military, been like, hey, bitches, I was right. There are 72 of these pods or whatever the fuck. We need 72 of these vials and 72 soldiers so we can all stab them at the exact same time because just to be on the safe side that we don't wake any of them up or whatever.
And if they do an second part to this, I'm okay with it.
Well, they're already working on a sequel. Yeah. And so I'm curious to see what that takes. I mean, who knows? Maybe because it's a spaceship there that somebody gets alerted, you know, their mothership gets alerted that it exploded and then they send more, or who knows?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in there. Now, the queen supposedly is dead, which I, you know, that whole sequence was very interesting. You know, again, you know, his father was a Vietnam vet who has PTSD, and he had kind of his road to redemption. Look, I can see all the interesting arcs. I think it wasn't as tight as it could be. It hit marks, but it hit marks like way too long, like where I don't remember the mark you're trying to get me to hit on the bookend. And so that's the problem with the story.
I remember kind of like being like, I thought J.K. Simmons would be in this more. And then all of a sudden at the end, he comes popping in. And I was like, oh.
He comes like Tom Berenger and Sniper, bopping stuff right in the eye.
Yeah. So it was watchable. Like, I enjoyed it, but it's also not, it's no Endgame.
No.
Paid for you by Marvel.
Yeah.
They got to us too. Internet commenters. They're paying everybody.
Yeah. It's not shooter Mark Wahlberg. But, you know, what can be.
Yeah, it's not something that I would roll my eyes halfway through and wonder if I'm going to finish.
It's a good Chris Pratt vehicle.
Yeah, he's good in it. I think he's good. Sam Richardson's good. And it's funny, too, because I think there's a point where he disappears and then all of a sudden Sam Richardson's just back and he's just like, hey.
Well, and the thing is, like, here's the emotional
Maryland Rice Cubs in it. That was a surprising,
But the Sam Richardson emotional part, which was I hid. Because some people, when they go 30 years in the future, I mean, it's a hellscape, and he basically hid for 24 hours or whatever, however time they stay there, and he hid out. But they didn't really like make a point of like emphasizing that he basically didn't fight. He just tried to stay alive.
Yeah, and that's the part where they're like, we'd show you what you're up against, but none of you would travel to the future if you saw it. That's like, jeez. And
the creature design was awesome.
Yeah, I was going to say the design was cool. It did a little bit of that. Sometimes you need to shoot him a million times, and then sometimes guys are like, you know, sniping him in the spot.
The ninja paradox.
Yeah. Same, you know, the same way it was like in Zack Snyder's thing where sometimes that, you know, one guy can have a machine gun and hold him off. And then the next overtaking.
Yeah. It's a question of physics, Sam. I don't know if you're aware of this. It's the ninjatic equation where one ninja is very powerful. When you start adding ninjas to the population, their HP goes down just exponentially. Uh-huh. So once you have 50 to 100 ninjas, I mean, they're basically paper people.
Well, I have one counterexample, and that's when you add Lokis. It does not become worse. It becomes better.
Oh.
Because I don't think we have anything else to say about the Tomorrow War.
Yeah. That was an excellent segue.
Let's get to the good stuff, because we got young Lokis, we've got kid Lokis, we've got alligator Lokis, we've got old Lokis, we've got president Lokis.
Loki was really where it was at. Somebody's got to say to themselves, like, boy, we really missed the boat, and we should have used that costume.
I mean, it looked a little silly, but I think that even sometimes the silly ones, when they're done earnestly, it works. Like just the acting he did with his cape. Like there's a point
when they're
all laughing at him and he flips his cape all the way up and then sits down in his chair and flaps it down. It is like, it's kind of one of those things where you go like, oh, I would never think to do something like that. That is acting. That is like acting.
That's the Loki that right I would. There. Yeah. That, I mean, but that's like the Loki that I think of is like this guy that's almost kind of not campy, but like, he just chews the scenery and chews the like, or in this case, we'll suspend disbelief here, kind of chews life. And it's like, he's bigger than the room.
Yeah. And so I was dying to get on the pod here to talk about the Marvel stuff, because I think that Loki was the best of the Marvel shows so far. Is that going out on a limb? I don't think so. I think that looking after we've gotten through three full ones, I was probably most excited about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I'd say that was probably my third favorite. I'd put WandaVision just ahead of that. And then I put Loki at the top so far.
Wow.
The more I think about WandaVision, the more I think about how interesting it was. Like Falcon and the Winter Soldier, we were kind of confused at times. Like, is Kari supposed to be good or bad? Like, you could tell that maybe some stuff got chopped out of it.
Yeah.
It just wasn't quite what they wanted it to be. I think that probably was the one that got affected by COVID the most.
Mm-hmm.
But Loki, I think that you could love Loki just for Tom Hiddleston in it. I mean, he was great no matter how many times he flipped his hair or did the shrug with the smile. And you just be like, I could watch him do that all, I could do this all day. I could watch this all the time. But the plot was interesting. I mean, it kept you on your toes. You kind of kept wondering where things were going to go. I like that we got Kang, not Kang, I think that this was the most setting up what we're going to get in the next 5 to 10 years of the Marvel Universe, which is multiverse. I mean, we're going to get different versions of people. We're probably going to see some Iron Man and Captain America's that aren't Robert Downey Jr. or Steve Rogers at some point, Chris Evans. We're getting Spider-Man allegedly with a bunch of different versions. We're going to get Doctor Strange into the multiverse or multiverse of madness. I think that this just
I wish they had not given the name multiverse of madness straight away. I wish they had just called it Doctor Strange 2 or something else, and just kind of I would have rather not known that and be kind of taken on a ride rather than don't tell me all the mile markers you want to hit. Let me ride the ride. I don't have if you're almost spoiling where we're going.
Yeah, I think that this would have been even better if we hadn't known that. Same with WandaVision, maybe if we, didn't know that she was going to be in Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah.
It might have been a little more, I think that's where some things would be, I feel like that's going to come out in the marketing, some of that. But yeah, I think it would have been fun. I don't think there's any reason for us to know the Doctor Strange title just yet. I mean, all we've seen is a title card. Like, it's not really like were they that excited to get that out?
See, it makes me nervous though, because I don't know where Shang-Chi plays into this. I saw that trailer at Black Widow. And
I'm excited about Shang-Chi. I think it looks great, and the action looks fun.
I'm not excited about Awkwafina. I'm going to be brutally honest. I think she was awesome in Crazy Young Asians or Crazy Rich Asians. I just don't know. She's playing that character again, and I'm not sure. I at least from what I can tell, I get it.
I don't know how big a character she's going to be in it either. I mean, I think it's going to be a lot more about Shang-Chi and his father. And, I had noticed when I saw the trailer, when I rewatched, I went to the theater for Black Widow too. When I saw the trailer, when they show that final shot of them kind of doing powers at each other, I don't know what they're doing.
The red and blue light.
It looks like it kind of looked like the power was generating from Shang-Chi's fingers around his fingers, like rings. So I wonder if we're going to eventually get the 10 rings in ring form, not just these gauntlets that are in the movie. So I don't know, Abomination and Wong are in it. Maybe we'll get a Black Widow popping up in there. If there's some big fighting tournament, I'm excited just to do something a little bit different. I think it's cool.
Before we go too far, because I can feel where you're edging towards Black Widow territory, but
not yet. Yeah. Cause I want to stay, I don't want to get out of Loki yet. I really do think.
Did you find it a weird part with Loki, with him kissing himself, essentially?
I did not, because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like you're just out, if people that haven't found their person, you're just looking for somebody that maybe can share some life experience, you have some shared life experiences, and maybe knows some of what you've gone through. And they're two different people, even though they're the same
Okay.
You know, quote unquote person. You know, I think when you get into, you know, I doubt they have the exact same DNA. I mean, who knows? I mean, she's got blonde hair, so obviously they're not exactly the same. She's a girl.
Right.
I don't know. I didn't get as stuck on that as other people did. Like some people
were going, I didn't know where I was supposed to feel with that. And like, I was like, okay. I was like, well, he's so kind of self-absorbed that it almost makes sense. But then there was like this weird thing. I was like, is this incest? But it's really not. It's not like it's your sister, but it's you.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that it's not like they're technically related, you know, and who knows, maybe he's Loki Laufeyson, as they call him in the show. Maybe she is Loki Odin's son and is actually born of Odin. So who knows, maybe they're not even technically related DNA wise in that fact either, you know, still like his stepsister or whatever.
So are we to assume though that he basically was sent to a branch that does not know who he is?
Yeah, that's what I think happened, is that, you know, they're used to being there being one TVA that's managing everything. And now that these realities are branching off, there's TVAs in those realities that are managing a different timeline.
Yeah.
And that one obviously was made by Kang or Immortus or whoever. You know, I think that's the thing that's going to be interesting where for Jonathan Majors is he came in and got to play this character, and he's going to play an Ant-Man, and I think he's going to play it a couple different times, and it's going to be different every time. I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see him show up in a Fantastic Four movie as Nathaniel Richards. I wouldn't be surprised to see him show up in the next Avengers movie. I wouldn't be surprised to see Iron Lad show up in Young Avengers as a young Kang kind of thing. I think we're going to get all, I think this is kind of neat because, I mean, who knows, maybe this is how we get the X-Men, is that they do a Secret Wars and then all of a sudden they merge everything together and there's X-Men and Avengers and yada, yada, yada. But even if it isn't, I think it really opens up for the whole, like, I'm a time traveler from a different dimension characters that would seem a little out of place in like Iron Man 2.
I do, you know, basing around costumes again, we talked about, you know, with the older Loki, I was thrown by this version of Kang being, I remember when the Secret Wars figures came out and this character called Kang, which I really wasn't familiar with at all. And this guy in the green and the purple and these lines across his face, I always thought he was interesting looking. I thought the idea was very interesting. I very much hope that they do something that is equivalent to that look. I don't like when they just kind of strip things down and like just have the actor. Like, let me see. Like, if we do it with Vision, why not do it with another character and do something cool? Well, we did with Thanos, for Pete's sake.
Yeah, I have to imagine that at least, because I mean they said he's going to be Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man 3, so I have to imagine at least there we're going to get the blue face plate, you know, kind of thing, like helmet thing, a little bit closer, because like he said, he isn't Kang, he's the one who remains, and he said wait till you see my variants, and so I think we're going to get some cool stuff like that. Like, I think that means that, you know, when the X-Men come along, you're going to be able to get Cable showing up and he's like, hey dad, Cyclops, you know, hey mom, kind of thing like that. So I'm excited because I think it just opens up a lot more stories, you know, and I hope it isn't something they rush to like close. I like, you know, I like time travel stories. I like those kind of things. I think that Days of Future Past is probably my favorite X-Men movie. You know,
so. I think you're onto something. And like, again, this is a hope, but I don't know if they're going to continue with this, but I would hope that they don't try to collapse this back down into one. And
yeah.
Like, it's almost like you have like five sandwiches that are a little bit different. And then when you squeeze them all down, when you bite into it, you can, there's going to be things that are still there. And it's like, oh, great, that one remained, but they can use these branches for other things, and so they, like, we can talk 10 years down the road, and we're still using other branches of other realities, which could be very nice and good for creating original stories or going back to old stories and retelling them.
Or, you know, even just imagine that we get, I don't know, let's say we're going to get Fantastic Four in like what, 3 years, something like that, maybe four. So maybe in like 6 years is when we get our first X-Men thing. And in like 6 years from there, all of a sudden you have, you do the Age of Apocalypse thing and you flip the whole universe on its head and you change the whole timeline. You know, so it's just like, I think that, yeah, there's too many like cool things you could do that, or you do the actual Age of Ultron where some guy's going to the future and some guy's going to the past and Wolverine's killing Hank Pym and just, you know, just bananas kind of stuff that you couldn't really do in something where it's just, nope, this is the sacred timeline and everything has to go this way.
Endgame was a perfect example of that. It was, you know, point A to point B. We got there through multiple movies, one of which should have come a lot earlier than it did to make more sense. But we had one linear story, essentially, a beginning, middle, and end. And with this, you can do a lot more with them.
And plus, you can change the rules of time travel. I mean, sure. I think that it would be kind of neat if and getting, you know, kind of into, I think that there's something to this with Black Widow, is we keep hearing that Red Guardian fought Captain America. And so right. I think there's some fun stuff where you could break this and be like, no, you know what? He did stay in the timeline and he kept doing stuff as Captain America on the QT, trying not to change the timeline, but he still was in active or something like that. Like, so I think there's a lot of fun things you can go back and do. And then you can also have something where it's like, if you're going to introduce, I think Dr. Doom has like a time chair or a time floor, some kind of time machine thing. And maybe it's like, you could say, well, like the way the Avengers were doing it, they were hopping dimensions. Whereas this actually travels you back in time. You can change your timeline kind of thing. So you can always change the way the rules work based on the science or whatever, as long as it's like, oh, when you go through the quantum realm, you're actually just changing universes. Whereas opposed to this, you're doing this kind of thing. It's like, oh, okay. So
I'm excited to see, you know, you brought up Ant-Man. I personally, I know some people have a real issue with Ant-Man. Like they see it as kind of like a brush off character. I thought, you know, Ant-Man 1 and 2, I thought were fairly decent movies. I didn't have a problem with them. And the idea of quantum medium sounds really awesome to me.
I will go as far to say, watch the scene in Endgame where Paul Rudd runs to his daughter and hugs her and tell me that man doesn't deserve an Oscar for his face acting just in that scene, because you see him go through so many emotions. He's like, you see him realize what he's missed. And he ends up a joke where he goes like, oh, you've gotten so big. And it's so nice. But it's just like, I just watched that like last the other day. And it's one of those things, it gets me every time, because I'm just like, oh, that poor bastard. He missed 5 years of his daughter's life and he's just realizing it, but he's also so happy to see her kind of thing. It's like, it's some of the best, like 30 seconds of acting I think you'll see in any of the Avengers movies. And so, Paul Rudd's bringing it. You know? Yeah.
I mean, and you know, I just think that whole segment of the MCU is horribly, kind of maligned, because I never hear anybody talk about it. Man, I think they're solid ass movies.
Well, you know, I think I heard one person kind of describe them as like almost the family movie of the MCU, which kind of makes sense because there's a kid in it and she looks up to her dad and she wants to be a hero someday. And now they're kind of aging her up. And when you look at it that way, you're like, okay, yeah, it is kind of a family friendly thing. Like the most risque thing is like him and Hope are making out at the end of the movie or something like that. Mm-hmm. A little joke about like, why'd you kiss me? Gross. You know?
I think the problem with the movies is they have not very strong villains.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that has always weighed down Ant-Man is there's a lot of people that would have liked to have seen what Edgar Wright's version was, that he was supposed to do it in like phase one. And then it kept getting pushed back. And then they finally kind of parted ways because he just wanted to make his own movie. And obviously, you know, they kind of wanted to be like, well, can you put this guy in? Can you put this joke in? Can you put this reference in? And it just didn't jive with what he wanted to do. So I think that might've been more successful had he got to do it in phase one. And I think that the fact that it got pushed back is kind of what drove that apart. And so, you know, I would have loved to have seen Edgar Wright do a Marvel movie, but maybe it's
it would have been great. It would have been great. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy knows editing and he knows story beats and storytelling so well. I think that's where the miss was definitely had.
Yeah. Well, speaking of misses,
yeah, go ahead.
I didn't not like this movie, but I think I have the same criticism that almost everybody that likes the MCU does, is that Black Widow was a nice movie. I wish it had come out before Infinity War.
Well, Sam, let me go on record that this movie was called Black Widow, but Black Widow was not the main character of this movie.
Yelena is the main character.
Correct.
Yeah, she stole it.
I think that's on purpose in some way. I think it's accidentally on purpose. I don't think anybody was smart enough to figure that part out, because I don't think we're going to see Scarlett Johansson anytime soon. You know, she's not coming back. And she's going on to do other things. This is going to be our new Black Widow. I mean, it just has to be. And she was awesome in it. Let me just say that. I don't. What's the actual actress's name?
I should know, but I don't know it off the top of my head.
Okay. Anyway, Elena, she was fantastic really in it. I thought there were some comedic misfires in it. It took a while to get the story started, and then realizing I didn't know when this was taking place. And then we talk about Budapest, and we've known for a while through the MCU, Budapest was this big marquee moment with Black Widow and Hawkeye. I think that's a huge miss. We didn't get to see that. We heard more about it. We got to see a little bit of it. And it was just like, this is the one that you really probably should have had Jeremy Renner in.
And I think that they had kind of a mantra that I've heard a few different people. I know I've heard the director say this, and maybe Feige too, was that she doesn't need the boys in this one. And I get that feeling of like, we want to give her own movie and her own adventure, that she's perfectly capable in this movie she doesn't need them at any point. But don't tell me the movie wouldn't have been cooler if instead of that weird flashback we got of her just sitting in a car, if we hadn't got a 5-minute sequence of her and Jeremy Renner doing something in Budapest. I know we've all been kind of like excited to see what happened, and to just see that she sat in a car and waited till a girl got home from school and then said, okay, you know, light the bomb, light the fuse.
Yeah.
Like that's, and then they, you know, they keep showing stuff like, oh, we hit out in this, you know, there's arrow marks in that apartment. And then there's, you know, a game of tic-tac-toe in those vents in the city. And it's kind of like, well, I feel like you could have almost shown half of that in a
little action sequence. Well, and she made Budapest sound like it was fun. And he said, Hawkeye seemed like, he was like, you and I have very different versions of that.
Yeah. So I would have liked to have seen what that was, rather than, because it's just, okay, so they blew up a building and then hid for a couple of days for like 10
minutes. Yeah. Again, based on the canon that we know, she thought that was a fun time. Mm-hmm. And so that didn't jive with me at all. And then we take, you know, the time frame of this movie is just after Civil War. And the problem with it is, you got to let me know that ahead of time
This movie takes place during Tony reading Cap's letter in Civil War, because by that time the letter's over, he's breaking the people out of prison. So yeah. This movie takes place from when he starts reading it to when Cap breaks those people out of prison. Because that's the other thing, is that I got super excited at the end when that Quinjet was there. I'm all, oh, cool. Steve's going to be in the cockpit waiting for her and be like, are we going to go get everybody? Like, and no, they didn't do that. And I'm like, man, you know, Chris Evans wouldn't have had to like work out for that. They could have just had him in the suit. He puts the movie wig on, you know, he could have a beard. He could not. We don't care either way. And, you know, and it's just, it would have added a little something to it just to show you where it was in the canon and everything. And I think
one of the other big things I had a problem with is The level of unrealistic violence. There was a knife cut in the beginning, no blood. I mean, literally cutting across the guts. And also they fell from like 3 to 4 story buildings, or sometimes from in the upper atmosphere, and lived and just 3-point stanced a majority of the time. I mean, it was just like, are we so thick with plot armor that no one can have a scratch on them?
I thought Natasha got beat up pretty good a couple of times, but I also feel like that she did some stuff that, like, that's how Steve would have fallen. And they, a lot of people say that she's a regular person, but I can't imagine that she's got some kind of super soldier something in her. I mean, especially if Red Guardian, they're making Red Guardian a super soldier. They got some kind of serum over there.
Yeah, I mean, like, and like, okay, so speaking of that,
which would, like, make, would be fine with me. I just think that they've kind of tried to play it like she's a normal person, but then they gave her this, like, well, she's gonna fall down and hit her ribs on 18 air conditioner units, and then
that's,
I mean, she was, like, she was fucked up after that. But then when they had to start running again,
Fine.
She limped for about 2 minutes and then was running again. So
yeah. And I mean, I look, that's really nitpicky. I know people will be like, oh, well, if you really look at this, then it's the same thing. Okay. Maybe. Okay.
And that didn't bother me, to be honest with you. I would say for this movie, like, literally my biggest complaint was, I wish it was earlier, but I was really happy with how much I liked the new characters. Florence Pugh is the actress that we were trying to think of earlier. She was great in it. Rachel Weisz was pretty good.
I loved going backward in time, and it was like
the American. I love filling in gaps because, especially, I love filling in gaps in the universe because it started off with like, oh, the Avengers came around, but then it was like, well, you know what? There actually was an Ant-Man and the Wasp in the 70s. And then we find out that there was a Russian Captain America in the 80s. And there was a Black Captain America in the Korean War or whatever it was and stuff. So I like filling in those gaps. And I think that would be those are fun opportunities for Marvel down the line. Like, I've always thought it would be kind of neat if they made a 70s Avengers movie with like Ant-Man and the Wasp. And maybe you have
Giant Man.
That was the other one. Giant Man with a de-aged Lawrence Fishburne. And then you just kind of fill in the gaps with whoever you want that you don't want. Like, you could put a Tigra in there, or you could put a Wonder Man, or you could, I always thought it'd be funny to just have an ongoing joke of Howard Stark constantly trying to build a, like an Iron Man suit so he can join the team and he can't get it to run. John Slattery just constantly banging his head against the table because he can't do what Tony eventually does. Yeah. So then he scraps it. At the end of the movie, he tells him to throw away all the designs because nobody will ever be able to figure that one out or something like that.
So
I think there's a lot of fun opportunities to put that stuff in there. I mean, I thought that, allegedly we get our first mutant in Black Widow too, that the Ursa, the bear, he shouted out that he was the first mutant in the MCU. And his Instagram after the movie came out, the guy that Red Guardian broke his arm in prison.
Oh yeah, that was awesome. That was one of those comedic moments that I thought really worked.
But that's one of the threads that they kept pulling that I was like, are they just trying to act like this guy has been bullshitting his whole life about his exploits that he now believes it? Or like the only thing that sold me on that not being true was when he asked Natasha, like, hey, did he ever talk about me? And he's like, he's like, Captain America. Did he ever say anything about it? And it's like, I don't feel like he would pressure her about that if he didn't actually think that they had fought and he maybe knew about him at some point. So I think that leads maybe some credibility to maybe we're going to get a Chris Evans Cap Putting the Stones Back movie someday down the line.
We're not gonna get that.
Well, there's rumors that they want to bring him back for something, but I don't know what that would be.
Now this would be the whole idea of multiverses starts to make me think that possibly.
I love David Harbour as well, by the way. I thought he was funny.
That maybe this Black Widow timeline was actually inside of a multiverse potentially. I don't know. I'm willing to entertain that thought. Okay, elephant in the room for me. I don't give a shit about spoilers. You know that. I go on record about that. And I found out about Taskmaster. Because clearly, the person in the suit is a guy. But when they take the suit off, it's not. And I think that's horribly disingenuous to, like, because number one, you have a stuntman that is doing those stunts to show that kind of stuff. And you're not like, there's that level of, I know the reveal was supposed to be shocking, but I saw it a mile away and I was just like, come, you know, then put a female stunt woman into the suit and have it. Just, it was just like, you can't do that to me. I felt very betrayed, like lied to. And frankly, I was like, this is Taskmaster. This is the guy that I've watched and I've seen in Daredevil and whatnot. And like, you know, doing like interesting things where I thought the technology aspect of it was very interesting, where you basically, instead of having this almost like innate ability, almost mutant ability to read a person's movements and then become them. That's always been interesting about Taskmaster. And then you add like, well, instead we're going to do it like technologically, to where it's almost like the Matrix. Like, well, like we basically get the data for her and then she now knows how to do these things. I don't know. It didn't work for me.
See, and I didn't mind it. I think that's where probably you come down on this is, how big are you into someone like Taskmaster? And to me, I always thought that was just a goofy villain that I could care less about. So
I get it.
I thought it was fine that Taskmaster was just basically the Terminator in this.
But it becomes agenda-based. It's like, and it becomes like Terminator Dark Fate. You know, like how many different ways can we do this to make it work? And it's like, I get it. I understand what we're doing. This is the female Force 4.
Well, and that's why I was mad I didn't see it coming, because obviously he wasn't a big fan of turning guys into super soldiers, or else he wouldn't. I mean, Red Guardian seemed to be like Mr. Gung-Ho, like why he threw him in jail is
kind of
like of a mystery. So obviously he likes having like subservient women. And so he kind of took advantage of his daughter being disfigured and turned her into like a monster kind of thing. So I was fine with the twist. Like, obviously they really did build the character to look like a guy. And, you know, so that's that, like, you're right. That is a little disingenuous, especially when every other, you know, woman superhero suit like literally had like boobs in it. I'm pretty sure Pepper Potts like suit might have had boobs. I don't even know if that's true
exactly.
or not. But there is a way.
The Mandalorian, they did that. They got mad about that with boobs and armor. But if you're gonna do it, just go ahead and do it, and I'll buy into it. But don't bait and switch. Because that's not the same thing. Because like when Black Widow was getting her ass beat on that bridge, that was a dude in that suit. 100%, we all know it. But like, you know, I mean, like I'm just saying on like a we're looking at it kind of way. Like I forget the storyline, but like that, and that's the part that I find to be a lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just it's funny because like I said, I didn't see it coming because I just assumed that this daughter was dead the whole time. And I wasn't one of the people that looked and recognized the name in the credits. I kind of just, when the credits are going on, I'm watching what's happening on the screen. You know, I'm not paying attention to what order they put Florence Pugh and David Harbour's name up. I don't care less about that. So I didn't notice that, but you know, other people picked up on it pretty quickly. And I thought it was a decent twist. Like, again, I thought there could have been a little bit more spy aspect to it.
Exactly.
It was a little more Jason Bourne-y than it was. It was a little more Jason Bourne than 007. So that's where I would have liked a little more spy stuff. And who knows, maybe this could have been a movie where rather than the way it was structured, it was like you saw a chunk of her Ohio time, then you saw Budapest, then you saw the movie, you know, the rest of the movie kind of thing, like where you kind of make it like more of like her movie throughout, and then you introduce.
Let's give Black Widow a brain. She's a spy. She infiltrates. Let her do those things.
Well, and it's just funny to me that it's like, so she's just
and they came up with that. Sam, here's the problem. There was a flashback between her and her mother they basically created a plot to get to the Red Room in the, as far as I can tell, in a matter of 15 minutes, they came up with a plan to swap faces and swap gear and become each other. I mean, it'd be much more interesting to have like the Steven Soderberghs of the world. If you really want to have intrigue and reverse bluffs, get somebody like that to help you out in editing something that really, like, where you're like, holy crap, they figured it out. You know, they started this plan out way earlier, and these were the pieces that we couldn't see, but all the pieces that started to fit together.
Yeah,
like Ocean's Eleven type shit.
Yeah. Lucky Logan, you know, something like
you got
that.
It absolutely, yeah, so. 100%. Which, yeah. Lucky Logan, one of the best movies ever made, by the way.
Yeah, it's funny. I got annoyed at Amazon Prime though, because it's something I've watched on there before.
Yeah.
But now it's off Prime, so it was on my recommended to watch. And when you click on it, it's like rent, buy, and I'm like, get out of here. That's
it's on my Plex. It's on my Plex. You can watch it anytime.
Mine too. So for the most part, I didn't bump up against too much in this movie. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought that it was funny and where it needed to be. I thought that the new, like I said, I thought that I'm looking forward to see when we're going to see more Florence Pugh and more David Harbour and Rachel Weisz.
I am okay with the characters that they brought into this. I think are more, again, and again, this is my biggest beef. Everybody is far more interesting than Black Widow.
Yeah, I guess maybe. I think maybe that it had a little Iron Man 2, and that it was trying to introduce a lot of new stuff in it. Yeah. So they put a lot of focus into those, and really, like, Florence Pugh got the media stuff where she's talking about how the best parts of her life were fake and nobody told her. Like, that's good.
I think that's extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that beginning portion, because then they're taken away. That's her, like, her whole life was like a matter of like 7 years, and that became something completely different. Mm-hmm. And the fact that she feels like that's more real than anything she's ever done. I mean, I think that makes for a very interesting character.
Yeah. So I think you're right. And that the other one, I think that they could have given her more to do, but it was decent. You know, like, it was good. That typical Marvel where it's like, we may sound a little bitchy about it, and it's like, yeah, it was a B-. You know, it was a B+. It was not like,
yeah, I said solid C+. So yeah, same as B-. I don't like being lied to. And so I'm going to knock you on that one.
Yeah. And see, I was fine with it. Just, it was going for a twist. And I think that sometimes we know so much about these movies from trailer breakdowns and just, you know, being kind of smart enough to watch it and be like,
sure.
You know, I mean, who didn't watch the trailer and know that her falling out of the sky was going to be at the end. Did you think that General Ross looked younger than in, like,
something was all really the other strange movies?
I heard that he's not in great health, though, that maybe that's the
case. They made reference to that in, she had said something like, you look very pale. And I thought to myself, is that because you're going to be doing like the Red Hulk thing?
Oh, that would be interesting if he's been behind the scenes. That's why he's had heart attacks and stuff, like, or bypasses, is because he's tested some of these soldier serums on himself, and he's going to Red Hulk out pretty soon. That would be kind of cool.
It would be cool.
And I've heard some rumors that Mark Ruffalo is going to keep playing the Hulk for the next couple of years, and that he's going to keep evolving. Like, it's not just going to be Smart Hulk. Like, who knows? We may see Mr. Fix-It down the line, or we may see, you know, the future Hulk that, you know, wants to rule the world or all that kind of stuff. So I think, yeah, that's what I think. It's fun that there's a lot of storytelling. Oh,
imagine a branch reality where Hulk took over the Earth.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and like, look at, we may be getting super teams from other countries pretty soon. You know, maybe the Avengers is kind of the
American. Give me that Alpha Flight. I'll take Alpha Flight any day of the week.
Alpha Flight. And look at, we've got Red Guardian. We had a Crimson Dynamo name drop in this movie, which is basically the Russian Iron Man.
Yeah.
Rachel Weisz, I think that her character has been some sort of, like, they mentioned that she has some masks in her weapons room.
Oh, hold on. Like, Sam, the end of this movie, what's her face comes up? Dreyfus.
Yeah.
Now,
Valentina.
That was curious to me that they brought her in at this point. Like, well, I mean,
I think that she was originally supposed to debut in this and then be in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And then it just got that the release dates got flip flopped, that it came the other way around.
Okay. Okay. I thought maybe so.
It's obviously she's some kind of shitty Nick Fury. She's got herself a Black Widow. She's got herself a U.S. agent. She's got, you know, so who knows? She may show up and pick up the Abomination in Shang-Chi.
And then what about, I'm thinking, freaking what's her face? Female Hawkeye.
Oh yeah, Kate Bishop. Although Kate Bishop may be that's how the other thing is, how much Young Avengers setup they've done in these movies. We've seen Patriot in Captain America and the Winter Soldier, which we've also seen the new Falcon in that show.
Yeah.
We've met Wanda's two kids in WandaVision. We've seen Kid Loki, and I guess we're gonna get America Chavez in Multiverse of Madness. And we've just gotten our first Kang, so Iron Lad might be just right around the corner. And then we've also gotten Cassie Lang, Stature, who's in the Young Avengers. So they've done a lot of Young Avengers setup without. I wonder how many of these kid actors they're planning on keeping in these roles. Like, you know, they changed Cassie Lang's, so they're, you know, maybe they're gonna. Still, these roles are still to be cast. You know, maybe the guy that played Kid Loki will be continuing playing Kid Loki. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, kid actors, that's just a real dice roll, because you never know what you're going to get on the outset of puberty.
Yeah. I was ready to put half of Stranger Things in X-Men uniforms, like, after the first season.
Yeah, but if you look at them now, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not sure if I want to do that. Like, puberty hit them pretty hard.
Well, sometimes I think that maybe that's what you got to go ahead and do, though, is just be like, okay, well, this is a kid that, yeah, if he gets a little bit older or whatever, fine. You know, he gets bigger. Like, that's the way this character will go. But, you know, they know how to make Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans look like they're the same height. So,
right. Well, I mean, I'm saying we don't want a bunch of Ed Furlongs and Corey Haimes, you know, or Feldmans.
Yeah. So let's see. So what do we got to look forward to? We got What If coming up in August. We've got Ted Lasso coming out now.
Yeah. Now, well, hold on here. Because
Shang-Chi in September.
Yeah. You mentioned to me What If.
So I've heard some interesting rumors about What If.
And that's August 11th.
Yes, I think so.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, sometime in August. So I've heard that What If is either, one, that all these stories are happening in the same universe. So, you know, there's a... You know, you've seen from the trailers, there's a T'Challa that saves Iron Man, or not T'Challa, his cousin. Shoot, I can't remember. Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
Michael Killmonger. B. Jordan Killmonger saves Iron Man in the desert. There's a, you know, Captain Britain, Peggy Carter type of thing. There's a evil Doctor Strange. There's zombies. There's all kinds of different stuff. There's been like a Spider-Man Doctor Strange looking guy.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a party Thor. So one of the rumors I've heard is that all these things are happening in the same universe. So this is one crazy multiverse where it's like, you know, Peggy Carter was Captain America and there was an Iron Man before Iron Man, and it was Steve, and there's yada, yada, yada. And then all these things fit together, and that maybe they're eventually going to lead to there being some kind of like multi-dimensional team. And that even I've heard a rumor that Peggy Carter is going to come back in Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness. So I don't know if this is going to be something where these are all different stories, but if they're all going to be canon within the Marvel multiverse. So that's why I'm hoping they stick with this whole multiverse thing, because I think there's just so many fun things you can do with it. I mean, if you're going to have what's her face come back as Peggy Carter and be a super soldier,
I'm so down with having her a part of this. You know, again, we thought there was that maybe that little scene where she was in the TVA, again, unfounded, but...
Well, even the creator wouldn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
The one thing that I wish they'd come out and explain was how Loki was able to repel that column that almost fell on him and Sylvie when the plane blew up. That's the one thing that they never really kind of... like. And maybe it's just like he said that, hey, I think we're more powerful than we know. Maybe he just was able to kind of tap into that inner Loki-ness and channel some sort of energy that he didn't know he
and
had.
And maybe there's something to what you said at the very top of this, which is when you have more Lokis together, something happens where they all become a little bit stronger. Mm-hmm. Or they act different by having more Lokis around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they feel a little more empowered or something along the lines.
Something.
So, yeah, no. So I think it's, like I said, I'm just excited. I think that, you know, we could get some things that I never thought we'd get. Like, who knows? We could get a Age of Apocalypse storyline where all the movies for like 5 years are in a dystopian world that happened because there was no Charles Xavier. Like, I think we could get a Secret Wars that lasts movies. I mean, imagine we get a Secret Wars and we get something like Thor Core, where you have a bunch of Thors that are detectives, and you have Beta Ray Bill and regular Thor and Storm Thor and Jane Foster Thor and Frog. We even got Frog Thor in Loki. So I think that there's a lot of fun things they can do with this. And, you know, who knows? We may see the Pet Avengers.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I hope that they just take this as, you know, a stepping off point where it's like, look, we don't have to be so focused on one line. We have enough people. There's enough good directors and good storytellers that can write and go ahead and make those branches work. Now there, eventually someone's going to have to be in there to do like the master story. Obviously we can't just have it going everywhere, but it would be, you know, and maybe it's, you know, a villain story. Like it could be where it's a Kang story and we just have to get there.
Well, and I feel like they've learned some lessons about letting creators create a little bit. I actually just watched a great YouTube video that was about how the movie Chef is actually not Robert Downey Jr., John Favreau's experience making Iron Man 2.
That it was like that has been suggested to me multiple times on YouTube, and I haven't watched it yet.
When you watch it, it's a really good video because when you see it, you're like, oh my god, like how did I not know that that's what this was about? Like, and it makes perfect sense that I think that Marvel has made a few mistakes trying to kind of recreate the formula or redo it the second time. Like, it's not like Thor 2 or Iron Man 2 were super successful yet, you know, and I think that, even though maybe say what you want about it, Iron Man 3 was maybe one of the first ones where they and the second Captain America's where they really started letting filmmakers do something a little bit different and do something maybe kind of universal breaking, like not afraid to like take down S.H.I.E.L.D. And just because it's like, you can still say Nick Fury had another helicarrier stashed in his back pocket in Avengers 2. Yeah. It's no big deal. It's a
comic. Well, and Iron Man 3, like that's really an unsung movie as well, because they really did step and make big time choices. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they made, you know, they weren't afraid to get us a little upset with the whole Mandarin twist, but I thought it was a good twist. Like I was excited to see Ben Kingsley playing it. Like I still will do an impersonation of him saying, "You'll never see me coming." You know, like
I'll never see it coming.
I was so excited for that. And it was a great twist. Like nobody saw that. You never saw that coming, you know? So it was I'm not afraid for stuff like that, especially since they're bringing the Mandarin back. They're doing it a little more respectful way in Shang-Chi, as opposed to just like, here's this Fu Manchu with alien rings or alien dragon rings with all these powers. Like, how do you have a guy with 10 magical power rings go against a guy with technology? Like, I think that's one of the things they try and do in these movies, is have similar power structures go against each other. So it's like, I know they get complaints that it's like, oh, this guy is just the opposite of this guy. But it's like, well, you know, if you have magic versus punching, sometimes it's confusing as to who's winning the fight. Like you got to have stuff that kind of matches up against each other.
Well, but Thor has already explained this, that what people think of as magic is really just technology they don't understand. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then I do have to say, I've seen Black Widow twice. I went and saw it again last night just because.
Stop giving that movie money. Stop it.
I'm done. That's okay. Fine. But Ray Winstone's Russian accent is as bad as people made fun of. Like, it was something I didn't notice the first time. And then I went back and I'm like, oh, he is just grumbling, isn't he?
Now, I will tell you.
I can't say that I can do a good Russian accent. I tried to do one on the way out of the movie, and it deteriorated very quickly.
Yeah. But if you take Ray Winston and then you put him with Mandarin, Gandhi, Ben Kingsley, there's a movie out there called Sexy Beast. And if you haven't seen that, I highly recommend that movie. Sexy Beast is something very, very special with those two. Very special.
Well, I have to take
it. It is a Cockney accent battle that you will never quite get. I mean, it's just amazing.
Oh, man. Well, you got anything else to recommend? You know what I've been watching on Netflix is there's the second season just came out recently. It's called I Think You Should Leave. It's a sketch show by, I think his name's Tim Robinson. He was a ex Saturday Night Live guy that never really, he's talked about how he's used failed pitches for Saturday Night Live sketches on this show that he's brought him over that he's like, okay, well, I'll just do it on this show. And it's just cringe, awkward stuff, but it's just so funny. Like, I mean, if anybody's ever seen Detroiters, then they've seen this guy, him and Sam Richardson are on Detroiters. They were for two seasons on Comedy Central. About two guys that run an ad agency, and he's just super awkward but it's just so funny. I mean, there's one where there's a car that crashes into a building and it's a hot dog car, and everyone's like, oh my god, is everyone okay, who did this? And then it's him in a hot dog suit going like, yeah, who crashed this car, everybody? And it's everyone just looking at him like, it's obviously you. And he goes, whoa, let's not be pointing any finger. You know, it's just really weird, awkward stuff. You know,
okay,
I think the very first episode is a guy leaving a job interview, and he tries to pull the door and it's a push, and the interviewer makes fun of him, and he goes, oh no, it goes both ways, and he pulls the door off the hinges to leave the coffee shop and walks. So it's stuff that, like, it could be just 30 seconds, or sometimes you don't even realize that one sketch is connected to another, kind of thing. Like, some of the episodes are only like 15, 17 minutes long. So it's really kind of like, it's cool for when you don't have a very long attention span and you can zone out. If you don't like a sketch, you can zone out for a minute and then it's going to come to something new later.
Okay. So I'll link that in the notes for everyone. I think based around, you brought up SNL and you brought up sketch comedy, technically not a plus, but is on YouTube. Gillian Keeves, Shane Gillis, and McKeever, I can't remember his first name. Shane Gillis, notoriously fired from SNL, is doing sketch comedy on YouTube that is probably far and away what SNL should have been doing a long time ago. And it is mind-numbingly funny. I think it's just absolutely some of the best sketch comedy I've seen in a while. Aside from what's his face? He does a lot of the face swapping of Caitlyn Jenner.
Kyle Dunnigan.
Kyle Dunnigan. Him and Kurt Metzger also have a cornerstone on sketch comedy right now.
Well, you know, I have to give a shout out. I've been having to learn TikTok for
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know, for work, but it's actually kind of fun because
China loves you.
Yeah, they're just kind of stupid fun videos, really. And so there's a guy that does both a Trump and a Biden impersonation that is just chef's kiss. I mean, it is so perfect, because especially when he does the Biden, he closes his eyes and he just rambles on, and it's, talking about riding woolly mammoths to school. And it is hilarious, but it's funny how these things are changing. Like, you can have a sketch show that's 17 minutes on Netflix. You can have something on YouTube. I think probably why don't you put that Jon Favreau thing link in the show notes too, because I think it's a really interesting thing. And you see how much it's changed
we'll do.
You know, I think that, like I said, I think Marvel listens a little bit more, because think about if Star Wars had to listen to Favreau about making The Mandalorian. They just went, we'd really just like to make a Boba Fett show. And he's like, no, we'll get there. Don't worry. Like, I will get you to a Boba Fett show. Yeah. I will get you to seven different shows, and I will get, I will cast the person as Ahsoka Tano that everybody's been fan casting for the last 10 years. And I will make your fans way happier than you have in the last trilogy. Okay. So I think that it's showing where the creatives are the more important part of this equation sometimes. And now you have to let people go ahead and make something that matters and not worry so much about connecting the dots and stuff.
Yeah, sounds good. I think we have some interesting links for people to go and check out now.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that's all we've got for this week. You know, next week I'll let you know how the third Black Widow viewing went. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not seeing it again. I'm actually, what do we have coming out this week?
I'm not going to do that.
Ooh, The Green Knight comes out in theaters next week.
What is that?
Dev Patel plays a knight of Arthur's Round Table, and he is challenged by some monstrous creature thing to fight. And he's very young and wants to prove himself. And he lands a blow and he thinks he killed him. And the guy gets up and he says, okay, in 1 year, you have to come find me. And it's all about how he has to go on this quest to go find this creature. And
what streaming service?
No, theaters.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, don't we get... Oh, we are 2 weeks from Suicide Squad, too. That will be on HBO Max.
I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited for that, too. I think that looks good.
Yeah.
I've been looking for an excuse to go to the theaters these days, though. Since they reopened everything in California, I realized in the first month I went to 4 movies.
Just be careful, because we may be in shutdown street here shortly.
Well, that's why I'm getting it in while I can, you know? Who knows? I may not be able to see Suicide Squad in theaters. So I've seen A Quiet Place, too. I've seen The Purge Forever. I've seen Black Widow twice. And then I saw the Fast and Furious movie.
Oh, yeah. That we're not going to talk about that.
No, it was just, hey, when you get to laugh when no one else in the theater is laughing, it's a good time.
That's right. There you go. I accept that. All right, Sam, let's land the plane and we'll see what we have for next week then.
Yeah. So I'll probably be back with a full report on The Green Knight of whether or not they finally made a King Arthur movie that's worth watching or not.
I'm down. I'm down to hear about it.
Alrighty. See you, everybody.
Laters.